Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
Last time I was due to preach here on the rota, it was Easter last year. And I never actually got to come here. I don't know if it was a big sign at the time, but obviously we had the pandemic and we've been in lockdown, churches were closed for a long time. And then today I'm due to speak here and we seem to have a massive storm this morning. Are we going to be flooded out? Am I not going to get here again? But actually no, we did get here. And then as I came in this morning and I'm thinking about signs and I'm preparing myself, and Carol's playing the organ. And Carol doesn't know this, but she's played one of my all-time favourite hymns at the start of the service. She was playing the head that once was crowned with thorns, is crowned with glory now. A royal diadem adorns the mighty victor's crown. And when I was a child, I went to part of formal church and I was in the church choir. And that was always one of my absolute favourite hymns. And you know, the hymn said that the little ones were please, can you sing that one again? I love it. And what I loved about it is the words. Because it's just pointing all the time to Jesus and what Jesus did for us. And today we carry on in our journey through Matthew. Last week Matt spoke to us and he reminded us that there's nothing that we can do that can't be forgiven. Nothing we can do that can't be forgiven. And also he reminded us that from those words from 1 Samuel, man looks at the outward appearance. And today, as we move on through the Gospel, we come to a passage where the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are demanding a sign from Jesus. And signs are absolutely wonderful things. If you're out driving down the road, the signs are really useful, aren't they, to point you in the right direction. They show us the way. But the people here who are asking Jesus for a sign, we need to go back and actually look at the passages that have come before. Because it's not out of context. It's in the context that they were actually trying to catch Jesus out. They never had signs. They'd seen Jesus healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, driving out demons, raising the dead. They had had the signs. And yet they say, give us a sign. And that's why Jesus then points them to a new temple site. You've had all the signs in the past, Pharisees. I'm going to give you a sign. The sign is the sign of Jonah. And that was a sign that Jesus pointed to his death and his resurrection. This morning, with all of the rain, I was reminded of the sign of the rainbow. But when God flooded the earth, he then said to Noah, I give you the sign of the rainbow, a sign that never again will I destroy the whole earth. As I came into church this morning, I called up Elijah and Becky, and I said, show me a sign. And they did show me a sign. I showed me their wedding ring. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. The book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are from of old and ancient times. Look in the book of Romans, chapter 4. Max will tell you I love the Bible, and I wish you had Bibles in front of you so you could go with me and unpick these passages, because I think sometimes handling it ourselves is so helpful. Beyond the day when we can have our Bibles and our books out again. Romans 4:11, and he receives circumcision as a sign. She's talking about Moses. Circumcision as a sign, a seal of the righteousness he had by faith, while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised, is ordered in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is then also the father of the circumcised, who are not being circumcised, but following in the footsteps of the faith of our father Abraham. Too often when we look at the book of Luke, the beginning of Luke, when it comes around to Christmas, don't we? We've got the shepherds who are in the fields, watching their flocks at night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord hung around them, and they were terrified. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then they have the Magi who came to worship Jesus, and they have a sign. They have the sign of the star to follow. If we look at John chapter 3, beginning of John chapter 3, we've got a Pharisee named Nicodemus. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council who came to Jesus quietly at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the signs you're doing if God was not with them." The Pharisees had the signs. They knew who Jesus was. Yet they rejected the signs. They'd seen the physical signs. Healing the sick, the raising the dead, the sight of the blind. They've seen the spiritual signs in forgiving sins. But they rejected them. Last week, Mike spoke to us about this passage when they were saying, basically, Jesus is coming from the devil. The third aspect of signs, with our physical ones, with our spiritual ones, the third aspect that we're dealing with today is Jesus' death and resurrection. This, he said, is the sign of Jonah. And if they accepted this sign and repented as the people of Nineveh had done when they heard Jonah's teaching, then just like the people of Nineveh, they would be saved. But their unfaithfulness was so great that he described them as an evil and adulterous generation. The nation, the people who should have been following him, incapable of recognizing the truth. So let's look back at that reference to Jonah. Jonah was a prophet who was told to go to Nineveh and give a message from God to the Ninevites. Jonah didn't want to go there. So he ran in the opposite direction. And he got on his ship to get as far away from Nineveh as possible. And then a big storm came up. And in the end, the only way to save the people on the ship was for Jonah to be thrown overboard. And he was swallowed by the big fish. And he spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish. Jonah 2, verse 1 says, "From inside the fish, Jonah prayed." Waste his time in the belly of the fish. He prayed. And after 3 days and 3 nights, he was spewed out of the fish's mouth onto dry land. And God spoke to him again. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. "Go to the city of Nineveh and proclaim it to the message I give you." And this time, Jonah obeyed. He went to the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was an Assyrian city in Upper Mesopotamia, one of the biggest cities in the world at the time. It's located in what nowadays is just on the outskirts of Mosul in Iraq. One of the reasons he didn't want to give the message, he said, "Look, God, if I go to Nineveh, I'll give them this message. They'll repent. You won't destroy them. I've wasted my time." And actually, what happened? He went to Nineveh. He said it took 3 days to walk through the city. It's so big. He gave them the message. And the people of Nineveh listened to that message. The Ninevites believed God. Fast was proclaimed that all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. They put on sackcloth and they called out to God and said, "Maybe, maybe, maybe if we repent, he won't destroy us. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so we will not perish." And when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and he didn't bring on them the destruction. And if you carry on reading through the book of Jonah, you'll see Jonah gets really annoyed with God. "I told you, God. I told you I'd just do that. I did waste my time." Gosh, it's never a waste of time, is it? If you give a message and people repent and turn away, that's not a waste of time. So in Matthew, when Jesus says, "I'm not going to give you a sign apart from the sign of Jonah," he was predicting that he would die. He was predicting he would come back. Romans 1:4 proves that Jesus is the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. And the key to Jesus is his resurrection. The Ninevites believe the message and turn to God by his occasion. Jesus was greater than Jonah. "I'm here in front of you. I am the Son. I am greater than Jonah. And if you don't believe," but it says that people didn't believe. And then he said to them, "The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment of this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth and is from Solomon's wisdom. And now someone greater than Solomon is here. The Queen of the South was the Queen of Sheba. And she came to see Solomon, having heard how wise he was. She travelled for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles by foot to get to hear Solomon." Jesus was confronted by the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. He was greater than Jonah. He was greater than Solomon. But people didn't listen to him. Then it made me think, what's the sign we've got for our generation today? Who is the sign for our generation? I say, you are the sign for our generation. Every person who believes that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior is a sign for the generation we live in. And our job is to go out into our communities. And I don't think it's a coincidence that this Bible passage came today when we're in the middle of our kingdom come. And we're thinking about how we can move out into our communities and what we can do. And then it makes me think, how confident are you at sharing your faith with others? And if you think, "No, I'm not confident, I wouldn't know the words to say." Because we've got people all around us who don't know the message of Jesus Christ. And if we don't take the message to them, who is going to? Who is going to? Then verse 43. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through the arid places seeking rest and doesn't find it. And then it goes to the house, and it said, if it finds it unoccupied, it goes and takes seven more spirits, and they will live there, and the condition of the person is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this little generation, is what Jesus said to the Pharisees. That was an allegory of the people of Israel. Jesus was saying, don't just seek God's kingdom and hope that everything else in it. Trust in me. Clean up your life. Trust in me. But the evil generation just kept to the laws, and they reject the Messiah. During Jesus' public ministry, his biological family didn't believe in him. Look at Mark. Verse 21. It says, Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he's out of his mind. His family thought he was mad. John chapter 7, verse 5. Even his own brothers did not believe him. Who then are these brothers of Jesus? Look at Mark chapter 6, verse 3. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? The brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? We know Jesus had four brothers. They've named him James, actually the author of the book of James. Joseph, we assume, named after his father Joseph. This version of my Bible says Judas, but actually it's Jude. That's the one who wrote the book of Jude. And Simon, and then it says, and his sisters. So there was more than one sister. At least two. We don't know how many more. That was his family. They were here, at the end of Matthew 12. Your family's outside. They want to see you. And Jesus said to them, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who are my sisters? And then he pointed to the disciples and said, here, you are my family. You're my mother. You're my brother. You're my sister. For whoever does the will of the Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. Jesus took this opportunity to reaffirm the will of his Father. If you believe in the will of his Father, then you are his brother, his sister, his mother. If you believe in Jesus Christ, anyone who believes in Jesus is a child of God. I'm sure you all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection, I am the life. What does this mean for us today? Firstly, from this passage, I tell you, we need to proclaim Christ as our Savior. He's given us a sign of Jonah, that he will die and he will rise again. We know that works alone can't save us. Our salvation isn't worked out by faith. We are part of God's family if we believe in Jesus Christ. Let us be a faithful sign to our generation. Let us go out and tell our generation about it. Let's make the gospel known to other people.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.